How are we all doing tonight? Are we feeling fresh? Are we excited? So just the front row are excited. Don't worry, I'm okay just to preach to you guys. That's cool. No worries at the back. I'm not feeling the lot. I'll just cry. How are you, Eddie? That's good to hear, Eddie. I enjoyed those announcements. I enjoyed them a lot. All right. Who had a good week? Anyone have a life-changing week? Every week's life-changing. Man, let's swap lives. That sounds cool. Done deal. Cool. So, does anyone remember my big announcement last time I preached? I had a big announcement for everyone. Does everyone remember what it was? Oh, Greg, I thought you were taking notes on me. Does anyone remember? No, that was two times ago. Do you remember? Footy. I was back playing footy. Oh, everyone's like, now I remember. No, that was the other time. I'm preaching so much, you guys are forgetting. Come on. Last time, my big announcement to the church was, I'm back playing football, and it's good, and it's exciting. But it's been tough. Because I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this before. When you go from being fit to being unfit to being fit again or trying to be fit. The problem with me is I remember what my body used to be able to do. And so I've gone back into playing football with those same expectancies. And I learned pretty much 5 minutes into my first game that my body isn't what it used to be. I used to be able to just like, because I'm small and quick, I used to be able to just like run through packs. I'd take the ball and just leg it. And I'm such an old man. I had the ball. I got it. Literally 5 minutes in, got handballed it, and there was this gap. And I was just like, that's mine. Ran. And was just like, oh, that takeoff's not as quick as it used to be. And it was just like, oh no, because the guy got me, I had to get rid of it. And it was just like, oh, it wasn't good. So these expectations I've had on my body, I've been pushing myself too hard. And last night at football training, this niggle that I've had a bit of trouble with the last few weeks finally brought me down. I've got an injury. And I'm not playing tomorrow. I'm heartbroken, guys. Heartbroken. Feeling my pain? You guys are. Nigel, surely you've pulled muscles before and you've like, all the time. Every Tuesday. Fine, I'll just go. No, but stopping seems to be a theme of the week for me. Because normally when I prepare my preaching, I do it, I don't know how Nigel does it, but the way I like to do it is, like probably a week and a half before, I like to kind of start thinking about what I want to preach on. And I'll get these little like sentences or paragraphs and I'll just like sticky note them to my board. I might find like cool articles and I'll bookmark them on my Mac. I might like screenshot some cool quotes that I see. And I like to build up like almost like a message before I've even done my message. So then when I sit down and type it out, it's like, and we're good to go. This week, every time I would kind of start writing stuff down, it was like, nah. Who's got a can? I heard that. Sorry, I get so distracted. Focus. But not this week. This week, every time I wrote something down, it was like, it just wasn't good. It was like I couldn't get into the God zone. I was struggling. And then like, it was like Monday or Tuesday, and my brain started putting pressure on myself. Like, Jordan, you're preaching in 4 days. Get it together. Because I had nothing. I was just like, oh. You know, I'm praying. I'm trying to like read parts of my Bible. I'm trying to get something good. And there was just nothing. I was just like, oh. You know that? You know when you just can't quite connect to God how you want to connect? You just want to be like, zoom, something's happening. You're getting this like clear message. So I got to this really serious point in my week. I was like, okay, Jordan, sit down. It's going to happen now. We're going to do it. So I had my Bible out, I had this big guy, was ready to go. Had my worship music flowing, right? I had my Halley's Bible handbook there so I could kind of get some context for verses. I got my Mac there. I've got everything going. I've got the pen and paper. I'm just sitting there. I'm kind of like getting fidgety. Nothing's happening. So I get up. I'm like, all right, I'll just put that down. I'm going to pray for a little bit. Started praying and just nothing was coming to me. And it was just so frustrating. And so I got to this point. I just decided I was going to give up. And so I slammed my Mac shut. I pushed my notepads away. And I went over onto my bed, sat on the edge of my bed, and just went, oh, damn. And I just closed my eyes for a second. And just in this, like, moment, I saw these words from God. And he was so eloquent and so poetic in his words. Shut up. He just said, Jordan, just shut up and let me speak. And so I was just like, oh. And in that moment, I just felt this, you know when you kind of get that breakthrough and that presence of God just kind of starts to flow. And it's just like, oh, that's what I wanted. So I'm going to speak to you out of that tonight, if that's cool. Is that cool with you guys? So this is kind of coming out of my own revelation. So I hope that's cool with you. So let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 46, 1 to 9. For those of you that know it, you'll love it. So I'm not going to read it all because it's long. But the first 9 verses describe a very chaotic world. They're talking about mountains falling into the sea, waters are surging, earthquakes are earthquaking, nations are in uproar, kingdoms are falling. Things are just falling apart. The world's going to pieces, Cassidy. It's just crumbling around. It's craziness, I tell you. Craziness. Cassidy doesn't like it when I give her attention, so let's all look at her for 3 seconds. So if Psalm 46, it describes this craziness that's going on. But then Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It describes this chaotic world. It describes our weeks. You know, in your relationships, in your marriages, in your schooling, in your financial situations, in everything that we do, everything we deal with, be still and know that I am God. But sometimes, I figure that's like, it's kind of easy for me to say that because I finally got that like breakthrough. But sometimes in an uncertain world, it can be very difficult to hear God speak. You know when you get that ringing in your ears? Wesley? Drum cage? Ringing in your ears? He knows what I'm talking about. When you go to a concert, earlier this year I was at Big Day Out. I saw the Killers play live. Changed my world. It was amazing. The loudness was ridiculous. When I got home, I got into bed, I could still hear the ringing. Do you guys want to see? You're not too old, so you can come with us next year. Did you know at a concert, it takes 7.5 minutes for your hearing to become damaged? 7.5 minutes. That was like a 10-hour festival, so my ears, well, we're stuffed anyway, Wesley. We're gone. And imagine never hearing again music. Imagine never hearing the people you love speak to you again. Imagine, I don't know if there's anyone here with like newborn kids, but imagine never hearing your kids like cry out for you in the night again. Imagine never hearing your mum or dad speak to you in that soft, dulcet tone. Imagine. And there's this school of thought. I've got this really cool quote. I love this. I've used this before in youth. There's a school of thought in anatomy that in terms of design, the ear is the most impressive human organ because its complexity is perfectly commensurate with its function. There are more intricate body parts like the eye or the brain, but they are overly fussy for their awe-inspiring tricks, say the academics. The ear, on the other hand, is precisely as elaborate as it needs to be. It is exactly fit for its purpose, and that natural elegance is intrinsically beautiful. What an amazing description for your beautiful ears. Nigel, you have such beautiful ears. But just because we've got ears doesn't mean we're guaranteed to hear from God. Can you open that for me, please? Thank you. And I was reminded in my kind of moment of silence, this story of Elijah. So I'm not going to turn there and read through it, but I'm going to paraphrase for you all. You're going to get story time with Jordan. Yeah. So we've got Elijah, this dude that's just... Drinking water is so awkward. It is. So we've got Elijah, who's just performed this ridiculous miracle. He's been the one prophet of God against 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of someone else. He made them look like fools, right? He should have been riding an egotistical high. Let's be honest. He should have been like confident, like, come on, anyone else want to come at me? Bring your best. Let's dance. You know, it was like a, it would have been a stadium type atmosphere. But he puts his ear to the ground and hears this woman Jezebel is after him. And he makes a mad dash for a cave. And he hides in the cave. And he gets woken up by the voice of God. It says, Elijah, wake up. What are you doing here? And Elijah immediately replies, God, I've been doing so much good stuff for you. You should see the Israelites. They've turned away from you. They've torn down your altars. They've forgotten your covenant, your promises, all that sort of stuff. But me, I've stayed faithful. And I'm sure at this point, God like kind of looks around like, dude, you're hiding in a cave. A little bit questionable, yeah? And so God, probably a little bit over human excuses, says, okay, Elijah, what I want you to do, go up to the mountain and I will meet with you. My presence is about to pass through there. So Elijah travels to Mount Sinai, which, free fact for you all, same place that Moses got the Ten Commandments. He's going to have that free of charge. So Moses gets to the mountain and he stands there ready to receive. He kind of like, he gets up there. Kind of, I guess, I assume he kind of has his hands out, like ready for some big move of God. Probably waits like 5-10 minutes. And then he begins to hear like the trees kind of start rustling. Then there's a bit of a breeze. This breeze turns into like gale force winds. And then you've got this like kind of vibe that's like, you know when you see the reporter on TV in the middle of the hurricane and the wind is going nuts? I imagine it to be like that. I imagine like trees are bent over. There's rocks like being blown around. And he's like, surely this must be God. Surely God's hearing this wind. But he just can't quite lock in. And so he's like, maybe it just needs to get windier. Already his hair is like that way. His beard is knotted. It's kind of messed up. And then the wind begins to die down. He's like, did I miss something? And then as the wind becomes faint, this rumble in the canyon below, I'm not good at sound effects, begins. He's like, oh yeah, this is God. God's rocking up now. He begins to feel the rumble. He figures, yeah, this is the presence of God. And then the ground starts kind of like full on shaking. And he stays on top of the mountain, hands out. He stays, there's rocks falling around him. There's an earthquake going on. There's like splits in the ground. Rocks and trees and little animals are disappearing down crevices that are suddenly appearing. And it's going nuts. And he's got his hands out. He's staying faithful. He's kind of got one eye open just to make sure rocks don't fall on his head. But God is not in the earthquake. And then as things start to settle down, as the rocks kind of start landing, he smells. He can breathe in this like smoky, smoky taste. Eddie's been down the road lighting fires. He begins to smell this smoke. And then the mountain, Sandy's like, yeah, he is. And then the mountain is covered in this fire. The heat becomes borderline unbearable, but Elijah is still in this position of waiting. Surely the presence of God would come like fire. Like for the Israelites, that big pillar of fire. Surely something's going to happen. Surely. But God is not in the fire. And soon the fire dies down because everything's burnt. And silence begins to fill the air. And a silence like a whisper settles on the mountain. And Elijah feels it. There it is. There's God. He begins to just speak to Elijah. He settles in his soul. The presence of God comes down. And Elijah, it says, he covers his face and he walks out and he reaches out into the presence of God and he touches. And God speaks to him in a gentle whisper. God speaks to Elijah. God begins to tell him he needs to go back the way he came. There's these people he needs to go and anoint. He's got a job that God's calling him to. So how do we go about having a mountaintop experience like this? Because I believe God wants to speak to everyone. I believe he wants Wesley to speak to him every day. I believe that he wants Greg to speak to him every day. God wants to speak to every single person here every day. You just need to reach out for him. So how do we go about having this mountaintop experience that I speak of? Number one, stay hot. This whole experience for Elijah, right? So where he had originally been was 2,000 miles away from this mountain, or 3,200 kilometers. I did some translations. I'm impressive. This could have been avoided if he had not let Jezebel distract him. Sometimes God wants to speak to us, and we can be in a good place. He was in a flippin' amazing place. He just performed these crazy good miracles. He was in a position where he could have just gone and cleaned them up, but he didn't. He got distracted. Sometimes we get caught in ridiculous distractions. I know when I'm praying sometimes, I'll get into maybe 30 seconds of it, and my phone will go off, and I'll get distracted. I'll go deal with my phone. It's like, yep, got this, da-da-da-da. And then you might get like 2 minutes into prayer, and it's like, you know what? That email I forgot to send. Got to go do that. Ba-da-ba-bum, go over. And then it's like, every time you try and get started, there'll be something that will distract you. All of a sudden, this iPhone game that you haven't touched in 3 months becomes the most interesting thing in the world. We can't let ourselves be distracted. Turn your phone off. Honestly, try it. Goal this week, turn your phone off. Try it. Half an hour, craziness. Absolute craziness. So spend time with just you and God. Allow time where you can sit in his presence. Spend time in reflection. Be prayed for. Don't let distractions stop you. Point number two, I like this one. Fast food church doesn't exist anymore. That has a point to it. So fast food church, it exists if you want it to exist. You can come into church, you can get what you want, and then you can go. But the thing about fast food is it isn't overly satisfying. It doesn't do what you want it to do. You see the picture, right? I do graphic design and advertising uni. I know it's a lie. You see the picture of your Big Mac. Does it ever look like that? No, it doesn't. Fast food church will not satisfy you. If you come in here, you rush around, you come, sit, yep, got my 20 minutes of worship in, got my 20 minutes of praise in, got my half an hour message from Pastor Nige, and then out the door, it's not going to work. Do you know, I've decided that no longer am I going to give God a time to work with. You know, I know that it takes me 12 minutes to get from home to church, right? I don't do this often. But sometimes that's my like, all right, God, I haven't spoken to you in a few days. You've got 12 minutes to get me in the zone. Come on. You've got 12 minutes. Let's do it. And we try and put God in this box. And it just, sometimes it works. Sometimes, you know, you put that song on that you know always works for you. Or you'll start praying that prayer that's always kind of gets you in the zone. But sometimes that stuff doesn't happen. And if you haven't spent time with God, it's kind of, where are you? Are you over there? Are you, if you spend more time with him, you know where he'll be. You'll know what season you're in and what you need to pray or what you need to do, where you need to go to get it. And often, very often, we get extremely busy, so busy that we can't have time with God. People today work more than ever before. People are more stressed, more depressed, facing bigger things than people ever have before. And I read this really interesting quote by this guy called Bill Hicks. He's a comedian. It's quite a cynical quote, but I think it's interesting. If you want to understand a society, look at the drugs they use. Excluding pharmaceuticals, there are essentially two drugs Western civilization tolerates. Caffeine from Monday to Friday to energize us into being productive members of society, and alcohol from Friday to Monday to zone us out from it all. That's pretty deep. And I'm not saying caffeine's a bad thing. I'm not saying alcohol is a bad thing. But do you understand the point that he makes? We try and busy ourselves so much. We have to actually take stuff to get excited. We have to take stuff to stress less. Just go out into a field and just, I don't know. So let's not ever be too busy for God. When we need to turn off, let's turn off. Let's let God speak. And God chooses the most amazing moments to speak to us. I mean, I was just thinking about it this week. The weirdest place God's ever spoken to me was at a festival, right? Really weird. Not Big Day Out. It was a place called Groove in the Moo, right? And so it was probably about a year and a half ago. I was with this friend of mine who is a non-Christian guy. And it's not a Christian festival. And there was this band called Cut Copy playing. And I really like them. They're a little bit like dancey, a bit rock. Sandy, you'd freak out. Don't even look them up. Don't. And I'm in the middle of this enormous crowd, and I just felt kind of like God give me a bit of a tug. And I was just like, here? Really? And so I kind of, not zoned out, but I just kind of took a step back. I was just kind of watching. And the crowd had just kind of, you know, chilled out. And they're going into this, like, low part of the song. And the singer kind of pulls back from the stage, and everyone just kind of stands there watching. And then I see the singer. So the singer goes back and the band start to build, and he comes running to the front and he sings this line, "With hearts on fire, we reach out to you tonight." And like, he just sung those words and I was like, ooh. Like, not a Christian band, but "with hearts on fire, we reach out to you tonight." And I begin to see people, like the first time he sings it, you get like, you know, the front mosh pit kind of like lift up their hands. And I was like, oh. Starting to stir me a little bit. And he sings it again, and then more and more people begin to lift up their hands. And in this moment, I just thought, imagine if these guys were worshiping God. And it was just this, it was like God just gave me like literally 30 seconds of just, this is what I want. I want people to worship me like this. The passion they had, the way they sung those lyrics, it was so passionate and so filled. And so when we are spending time with God, there'll be moments like that where he just, Jordan, I want you to watch this. Jordan, I want you to look at this. Jordan, I want you to do this. And so my challenge for you as we finish, Yana, can I get you to come and just play some magical music for me? So my challenge for many of you this week, most of you, is spend a moment with God. Like a genuine moment, not a, all right, I'm in the shower, so God, I'm just going to spend 5 minutes with you. Not a, God, I got 12 minutes until I need to be at church, so I've got 12 minutes. Not a second kind of thing. Prioritize him and say, you know what, God, I got 20 minutes, or don't even give him a time. God, I'm free right now. I'm going to go into my room. I'm going to shut my door. I'm going to turn my phone off. I'm going to shut my computer. I'm going to turn it off. If you need music, put some music on. If you can do it in silence, do it in silence. But just say, God, speak to me. Encounter him. Pour out your heart. Pour out your desires. Pour out what you want to see. Don't just go to him when you want stuff, but thank him for what you've been given. Thank him for what you've seen. Thank him for everything. So I'm going to ask you all to just close your eyes for a moment and think about the things I'm saying. Perhaps tonight you've never met this God that I'm talking about. and it intrigues you that you can kind of speak to him. And his sound, his voice can come to you. Maybe he sounds like the kind of guy you want to meet. In a moment, I'm going to ask you if you want to come and meet him. For some of us, maybe we haven't heard from God in a while. Maybe it's because we've been too distracted. We've been too busy. We've had our meetings, we've had our phone calls, we've had dinner, we've had so much stuff to do, but we just haven't stopped. Tonight, be still and know that he is your God. For some of us, we know that we want to hear from him. And we need to, the word is recommitment, but not in the typical sense. We want to recommit to saying, you know what, God, I want to spend more time with you. I want to spend more serious time with you. I want to make it a daily thing. I want to make it 20 minutes a day when I get up. I'm going to put aside 20 minutes just for you. Maybe we need to commit to that. Maybe we need to say, God, you know what? I'm not just going to play it by ear. When I get some free time, maybe we need to put aside. Say, you know what? That's God's time. I give that to him. So I'm going to ask for anyone that feels like they've been spoken to tonight. If you feel that God's beginning to stir you, if you feel like you just want to recommit to God and say, you know what, I know I haven't been as good as I wanted to be. I haven't met with you as much as I've wanted to meet with you. Then tonight's the night to say, you know what, let's get back to basics. God, give me a mountaintop experience. Let me hear your voice. If that feels like you, can you just give me a wave of your hand? Thank you. If you've never met God before, but tonight he has stirred you, whether it was in the music, whether it was in the offering talk, whether it was while I was speaking, if you've never met him before, but tonight you want to, you felt like he was there, like he was ready to say, you know what, let's do this thing called life together. Then I'm going to ask you to give me a wave. Cool. And for anyone else tonight, I'm just going to have Yana stay and play for a little while. And we're going to dismiss the meeting. But if you just want to stay and sit in the presence of God, maybe you want to come get prayer, then we're going to leave this open for you. While everyone else goes and has chips or whatever it is, maybe this is that time that you need to just spend with God. Maybe this is some time you just need to get back to basics.